Valley Theater presents Phil Carey and Ricardo Montalban. Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Roughneck, starring Phil Carey. And now, here is your host, Ricardo Montalban.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we are to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
Now to our transcribed drama, Roughneck, starring Phil Carey as Ed. Arizona, 35 years ago, a young, vital state, but far different from the booming, populous area it is today. Distances were long. The horse was a more usual mode of transportation than the automobile, and a plane overhead was a cause for downright wonder. It's evening, and in the kitchen of the rented house in the mining town of Bisbee, Mary Runge and her son Jim are finishing the household tasks.
Your rinse water's hot, Jimmy.
Okay, Mom. When do you expect that?
Shouldn't be long now. The shift at the smelter quits at 8.
I sure hope he didn't get too tired.
I hope not, too. I wish he'd waited a few months more before he tried to work, especially in that smelter.
Do you think we'll ever get a ranch again, Mom?
Of course we will, Jim. We could try it now if your dad would only make up his mind to start over on a small scale. You know how he feels about mortgages.
I know. Yeah, I wish he was like he used to be.
He will be, son. He's had an awfully tough time of it.
Let's sing some more, huh?
All right. Let's see. Where were we when we were so rudely interrupted by a broken cup?
Oh, hi, Dad.
Ed, I'm so glad you're home. How did it go, dear? You look awfully tired, Ed. Sit down. There's hot soup to start with, and I got a steak for you to celebrate your going back to work.
Jim, are your sisters in bed?
Yes, they are, Dad.
All right, you get upstairs, too. And don't finish those dishes.
But, Dad, I...
Take your mother's apron off, and never let me catch you wear it again.
Dad, I was only...
Get upstairs.
Ed, I knew you'd be tired, and I knew you'd hate the smelter. But if you have to take it out on someone...
I told him at the smelter I wouldn't be back. Jim and I are leaving in the morning.
Leaving? For where?
I don't know yet. But we're starting over. Without women. It's bad enough you're thinking you can take on a man's responsibilities when you put my son in apron strings.
He's our son, Ed. I don't know how many times we've had to rehash this. I worked while you were ill. So we'd have the money that's left in Montana to get another ranch and some stock for it.
On $10,000? What we'd get is another mortgage and lose everything.
You've let one bad experience ruin your whole perspective. Mrs. Green cheated you, but most people are honest.
She robbed me of my ranch, and you want to rob me of my pride.
It's false pride, believe me.
That money should have been used to support us. But as long as it wasn't, I'm going to take it. And build it into enough to get the kind of a place Jim and I need.
Ed, if we both worked another year or two...
While you make Jim into a housemaid and a child nurse? I told you, Mary, I'm through.
Ed, please.
I'll send money for Janet and Sally. But you go right on teaching if you think of yourself as a breadwinner. And bring them up to be women if you want to.
Oh, stop it.
But you're not going to make a laughing stock of me or an apron-wearing soprano-singing sissy of Jim. He's going to be a roughneck, like his father. This is the life, eh, Jim?
Sure, Dad. It's fun. This horse bounced me pretty hard, though.
Ah, you're doing all right. Just grip with your legs and let him know you've got the reins.
I'm trying to.
Ah, this is working out fine, son. We're comfortable in a little house. We've got a place for the stock. And when we find just the right horse, we'll be rolling in money.
Well, I don't see how one horse can roll us in money.
We just have to buy it from the right party. That old woman who took our ranch away from us in Montana taught me something, Jim. Find a sucker and play him for all he's worth.
Help! Help!
Dad, look.
A runaway, Jim. I'll try and cut across and stop it. Hey, grab your reins, you.
I can't.
All right, we'll do it this way. Oh, there. Whoa, whoa, steady, you local Mustang. Whoa.
Oh, easy, Dave. Easy, Dolan.
You better dismount. You all right?
I guess so. Thanks, mister. You risked your life taking today's ride like that.
You'd have been a goner in that quicksand up ahead. Where does a fool woman get the idea she can ride a crazy rank colt like this? Oh, steady, you, steady.
Well, I was just...
Dropping your rein like that, you shouldn't be allowed in a merry-go-round.
Why, Dave, he's been my pet ever since he was foaled. My husband started to saddle breaking the other day, and I thought I'd finish up. Only Dave saw his first cougar.
If you're married, why don't you stay in the kitchen where you belong?
There's nothing I can say to thank you enough. I'm Ruth Ellis. My husband's a deputy sheriff, and we have a horse ranch 2 miles south of town. You're new around here, aren't you?
Name's Ed Runge.
Boy, Dad, that was the greatest thing I ever saw. Jump for that runaway, boy.
Jim, right over and pick up my horse.
Oh, sure, Dad.
He's a fine-looking boy, Mr. Runge.
Mm-hmm. This is a fast sort of colt, Miss Ellis. How's he bred?
Well, he's out of a champion cutting mare, and his sire is a thoroughbred named Willowell High Time.
He for sale?
Dave? Well, I should say not. I told you he's my pet, and he's going to be the fastest thing in Arizona over a quarter mile.
If your husband lets you have anything bigger than a canary for a pet, he's out of his mind.
Look, Mr. Runge, I know you saved my life, but...
How about this High Time horse? He owned in these parts?
Yes. He belongs to a rancher named George Adams.
Good. Yeah, that's better.
Jim, I'm Mrs. Ellis, and I've been trying to thank your father for saving my life.
How do you do?
I certainly hope you like living around here. And if there's anything my husband and I can do to make you and the rest of your family feel at home...
Thank you very much.
We already feel at home. And I'm all the family Jim's got.
Dad, there's Mother and Sally and Janet.
Forget them. They're in Bisbee and they're staying in Bisbee.
You and Jim must be the folks who are on the old Miller spread, Mr. Runge.
That's right.
Well, I know my husband will want to thank you, too. Couldn't you come over for supper soon? If you're looking for some stock, Phil and I can tell you about practically every horse in the county.
Oh, thanks. But Jim and I can pick out our own stock. On your horse, son, and we'll be about our business.
Yes, Dad.
Your colt's quiet enough now. I suppose you think you can handle him.
Of course I can.
Did I mount okay, Dad?
Yeah, that was all right. Be easy there, Red.
Hope to see you again soon, Jim.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Ellis.
And thank you again for what you did, Mr. Runge. And I hope you'll change your mind about having a meal with us.
Oh, we may see you around. Let's go, Jim.
Whoop, Mamie. So long, Mrs. Ellis.
So long.
Show that mare who's boss, Jim. Keep her head up.
Over there, Red.
Ah, that's fine, son. You stay out here, mind the team, while I go in and pick up the feed.
Well, hello there.
Oh, hi, Miss Ellis.
Still risking your neck on that spooky colt?
Why, Dave and I get along fine. Phil, this is the gentleman who saved my life the other day. Mr. Runge, this is my husband, Phil Ellis.
How do you do?
Hi.
And Phil, this is Jim Runge.
Oh, how do, Jim? Mr. Runge, I'm sure glad you were around when my wife's horse bolted. All I can say is... thank you very much.
No thanks necessary, Ellis. Watch the wagon, Jim.
Yeah, it's a nice team you've got there, Jim.
Your dad didn't say much about it, but I sort of got the idea that you're going into the horse-raising business.
Well, that's what we're working for. Dad knows more about horses than almost anybody, I guess.
Well, he sure can handle them. I just wish he'd let us all be friends.
Dad doesn't really mean to act like he does lately, Mrs. Ellis. It's just... well, you see, things have been pretty tough for her.
If it'll make you feel better to get it off your chest, Jim. Maybe it'll help us to understand a little better.
Well, we used to have a dandy ranch in Montana. Then Dad went to war, and after he got back, an old lady took the ranch away.
Some sort of a mortgage deal?
Well, a pretty bad deal. Dad thought he wasn't going to have to pay quite as much while he was in France. But she claimed there weren't any papers where she agreed, so she got all the land back again, even some of the stock.
Huh. I suppose it's pretty hard to get started again.
Well, it wouldn't have been because Dad's so good with the horses. But then he got pretty sick, and it lasted a long time. So Mom started to teach school, and that made him mad.
You know, Jim, it's hard for people not to be irritable when things aren't going right. But maybe when your dad gets established here, he'll find he needs your mother and your sisters.
He needs them now. He wouldn't admit it, but he sort of mumbles in his sleep sometimes. And I can tell he misses them. So do I.
Oh, Jimmy.
I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. It's my job to make Dad so proud of me that we can talk man to man all the time. Then I'll try to get him to take Mother back.
I'll bet you can do it, Jim.
I sure hope so. Because before all the trouble happened, we'd sing around the piano and go to church and the socials and on picnics together, and we all laugh and everything.
Your mother and sisters are living in Bisbee, aren't they?
Uh-huh. I was going to ask Dad if I could take the train to see him this weekend, but we might be getting some new stock, and of course he'll need me to help settle him down.
Well, if there's any way Ruth and I can ever help, you'll be sure and let us know.
Phil, give Mr. Ungy a lift for those feed sacks he's packing.
Sure. Jim, careful the horses don't shy when I toss these sacks in.
Mr. Ungy, let me give you a hand there.
I can handle them.
Well, they look kind of heavy.
I'll just slide this one off.
Steady now, Red. Easy, Mamie.
And now the other one. That does it. Thanks, just the same, Ellis.
Oh, sure. I was a big help.
Jim and I are going out to take a look at the sire of your wife's colt. What's that fellow's name again?
Adams, George Adams.
His place is over beyond...
I got an idea where it is. You want to handle team, Jim?
Sure.
Good enough. Mighty glad to meet you, Jim. You too, Mr. Runge. Thanks again. Forget it, I have.
That supper invitation still holds, Mr. Runge.
Let's go, Jim.
Right. Glad to see you again, Mrs. Ellis. Nice to meet you, sir.
Thanks. So long and good luck.
Bye, Jimmy.
Jimmy, if you talk to her anymore, son, tell her your name's Jim.
I like the Ellis, Dad.
Mm. So he's a deputy sheriff, a young sprout like that. Well, maybe we will be seeing some more of him.
What do you mean?
You'll see. Turn right at the next road, Jim. Adam's place is supposed to be over there where the foothills start to rise. And it may be where we start to make some big money. Mr. Adams, I can't tell you how much I admire this horse. I just can't fault his conformation.
He's plenty of horse, all right. Here, steady there, High Time.
I'm tempted. I certainly am.
Well, there's a halter on him. All it takes is $10,000.
What do you think, Jim?
Gosh, we got that much money?
Have you? I'm not wasting any more time if you're just sightseeing.
Mr. Adams, I realize I'm new in these parts, and between you and me, I've been adrift the most of my life. But I wouldn't be here if I didn't mean business.
Well, you can see that the papers are all in order. All I have to do is sign the transfer when you give me the $10,000.
Oh, he's a beautiful horse, Dad, and he seems to like me. But is he worth that much?
Yeah, good breeding stock comes high, sonny.
Mr. Adams is absolutely right, Jim. It's more than we ought to spend, but, well, you've got to lay out money to make money.
That's what I always say.
Mr. Adams, give me your honest opinion. Are High Time colts all as good as the one the Ellis has had?
Well, if you're interested in breeding these here quarter horses, I'd say he suits your purpose.
We got a deal, Mr. Adams. Hold the horse, Jim. Now, Mr. Adams signs the transfer, and I make out a check.
Okay, here we go, fella.
A check?
Well, after all, you don't carry 10,000 cash around with you.
Well, I suppose it's all right. I'll sign.
Order of George Adams, 10,000, no hundreds. And there you are.
Hey, wait a minute. I never heard of this here bank. Where is it?
Winnett, Montana, like it says. I lived there for a while. Haven't gotten around to transferring my funds yet. You climb up and drive, Jim. We'll trot High Time alongside, and I'll hold the hauler myself.
Right. Boy, we've really got ourselves a horse now.
Yeah, but if this here check's no good...
Mr. Adams, Do I look like a fella who'll go around passing bum checks?
Well, no.
Just take that check down to your local bank, and when it opens on Monday, 4 or 5 days later, you'll see. Let's go, Jim.
Get up to the red. Mamie.
And I don't want no trouble with this, Rungy.
Forget it. I've got the horse. You got the check.
Dad?
Yes, son?
Is Hogtime really worth the whole $10,000?
He's worth a lot more than that to us. This deal's a new start, Jim. We'll turn that $10,000 to $50,000 or more in less than a month, or your roughneck dad is really slipping. You sure you thought this all over, Mr. Adams?
Of course I thought it over, Phil. Thought about it all night and all morning. Finally, I went to see the sheriff. And he figures that there's something fishy about this here Rungy fella, too.
So he issued a warrant, and I'm to serve it, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think you're moving pretty fast?
I gotta move fast. I gave him a legal bill of sale on that there horse. We can't find out till Tuesday at the earliest that that check's no good.
What makes you think he's going to skip the county before then?
Well, his rent's only paid up through today. I found that out. When he paid Miller, he gave him the money in cash. He didn't spring no Winnette Montana checks on Miller.
All right, we'll go out there. I'll have to feed and bed down my own stock first, though.
Well, can't your wife do it?
Ruth wouldn't mind, but she's out of town till tomorrow.
Well, start feeding them. I'm going to get back home before it starts to rain.
I still think you ought to be sure Rungy gave you a bad check before I slapped this warrant on him.
Well, the check's bad, all right. You have to get up mighty early in the morning to fool George Adams.
Oh, hi there, Mr. Ellis, Mr. Adams.
Hello there, Jim. Your dad home?
Sure, he's right here. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Adams, Deputy Ellis, this is an honor, I suppose. Although I can't say it's a surprise.
Well, didn't Mrs. Ellis come with you?
No, Jim. Ruth's on a little trip.
Between you and me, Ellis, you ought to teach your wife that a woman's place is in the home. However, nice weather we're having. Except it's going to storm like 60.
We didn't come to discuss the weather, Rungy. This here's business.
Mr. Rungy, would you mind asking Jim to leave the room for a few minutes?
Why?
Well, I'd rather not talk this over in front of him.
All right, son. You better go to bed. We have to be up mighty early anyhow.
Whatever you say, Dad. Good night, everybody.
I may want to talk to you a little later, Jim.
Don't worry about a thing, son. And if you want to listen, it'll be all right.
I don't want to listen.
Mr. Rungy, you don't hesitate to give me advice about my wife, so... Well, I wouldn't encourage a fine kid like Jim to be an eavesdropper.
I want him to hear this. I'm teaching my son to get along in the world. And if you're here for the reason I think, he and I'll have many a laugh over this.
Hey, get it over with, Phil. I don't want to get caught in the rain.
Sure. Let's get it over with.
Mr. Rungy, you made a deal for a horse late yesterday afternoon after the bank was closed for the weekend. Mr. Adams thinks you gave him a bad check.
Let him think it.
Now you're planning to skip out of here with that horse mine. You got the legal papers, and I'll be left holding the bag.
How did you figure that?
I've had plenty of experience with horse thieves. You're a new variety of the breed. But the deputy's got a warrant that'll stop you.
Well, go ahead. Arrest me.
There's no hurry about that.
Phil, you got a legal warrant. Read it to him. Touch him with it. Then take him to jail.
And if you've got handcuffs, snap them on me. I'm dangerous.
Well, here's the warrant, and here's what I'm going to do with it.
If Phil, don't rip it up. Are you crazy?
I'm just keeping Rungy from making a mistake that he might regret.
Ellis, I didn't ask for your advice.
No, but I think you can use a little help.
What?
Come on, arrest me. I accept the warrant.
Hill, you gone loco?
Not on your life. It's a trick. All right, get out of here, both of you. It'll be a real pleasure.
Oh, what kind of a trick?
The check Rungi gave you is more than likely a perfectly good one. If it clears and we're holding Rungi in jail, he can sue you, me, and the county for a whole lot more than $10,000. And the chances are that he'd collect.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Ellis, I warned you to mind your own business. Now I'm going to give you something you won't forget.
Why don't you come ahead?
What's that?
Hey, look, the barn!
Hey, it's a fire. Look at them flames.
High time, the other two horses are out there. Lightning must have struck it.
It's no use. The barn's a solid sheet of flame.
I've got to get him. I've got to.
You couldn't live in there, Rungi.
If I lose that horse, I'm ruined.
He's legally yours if the check is...
Wait, look.
Kid with a horse.
It's Jim in high time. Jim!
He threw a blanket over the horse's head and let him out.
Mr. Ellis, hold this horse, somebody. There's two more to get.
Jim, don't go back. Fight. Forget the others.
Hold back. I'm not afraid.
Jim, no!
Don't try, boy.
Jim, wait a minute. I'm coming with you.
Hey, the whole rope's gonna go.
Jimmy, come back!
Jim, where are you?
Over here, Mr. Ellis. Quick!
Come on, we gotta get out.
Can't leave these horses. Throw this blanket over the mare's head so you can lead her.
All right.
Come on. I've got Red Old blindfolded and bridled. Hey, I can't see the door.
Oh, I can. Now, you grab my other hand, Jim.
Let's go. Come on, you Red. We'll get you out.
You're going to give it a try.
They're coming on me. They're getting out.
The ridgepole. It's caving in.
Come on, Jim. Just a few more steps.
Is Dad going to be all right, Mr. Ellis?
Sure. He just thought you were done for, Jim. It's more than he could stand.
Yeah, he saw that ridgepole going, and he just sort of caved in, too. Well, I was close to fainting myself.
I'll be proud of you, Jim. What you did took real courage.
Oh, it's all I could do. I saw the barn blaze up while you men were talking, so I jumped out of the window and ran to the horses.
Didn't you know that you were risking your life?
No, I didn't think about that. I had to get high time out because if we'd lost him, we'd lost everything.
Jim, do you know anything about the check your dad gave Mr. Adams?
Well, sure. There's enough money in the Bank of Montana to cover it, but that's just about all we've got left.
You mean you were in on this year false arrest swindle with your father?
Skip it, Adams.
I knew about it, Mr. Ellis. And boy, I've been praying that Dad wouldn't go through with it.
Jim?
I'm right here, Dad.
You're alive? You're all right?
Sure.
Jim's fine. There's not a scratch on him.
Yeah, you got a good boy there, Rungi. He's a mite undersized, but his heart ain't.
Now, Mr. Rungi, suppose you stand up and listen to me. All right, Ellis. You owe everything to your son. Your horses are safe, you aren't going to be arrested, and you own a $10,000 horse that I figure is going to be worth it to you. You said back in the house that we see who got the beating. Well, I've got it coming, and I'm ready to take it.
Oh, Dad.
Now, I know something that'll do you a lot more good if you can wait until tomorrow. Look, Mr. Rungi, there's plenty of room over at my place for you and Jim and your horses. I'm sort of lonesome with Ruth away. Now, why don't you spend the night, and tomorrow we'll talk things over. Well, Miller says he'll be glad to start rebuilding the barn in the morning, Mr. Rungi, if you're planning to stay on the place. It was all insured, and he'll put up a first-class stable.
That's mighty fine of you to talk to him for me, Phil.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he could work out a deal so that the rent could count toward the purchase price if he decided to spread about what you want.
I like it. And I think Arizona's going to be a boom state one of these days. The only thing is...
Yeah?
Well, I've had some family trouble, Phil, and it's all my fault. Unless I could straighten things out with Mary, well, there wouldn't be much to work for.
You think you can?
I don't know. The way I treated her and the way I left her, I'd be likely to need an awful lot of help.
Stock's all taken care of, Dad, Mr. Ellis.
Good. Hey, you're all slicked up yourself, too.
Sure. And so is the kitchen. I figured Mrs. Ellis wouldn't want to come back to a lot of dirty dishes.
Oh, that's fine.
Fine, Jim.
You don't mind?
No, of course not. There isn't any question about who's the sissy in our family anymore.
Dad, anybody could faint.
Hey, who washes dishes out at your place?
Huh? Well, we do them together.
Gee, Ruth hoped she'd be back in time for church, but I guess it... Say, why don't we just start?
Do we walk or ride?
Well, Ruth took the buggy. We'll have to saddle up.
I'd sort of like to walk. I never really did look the town over very well.
Good enough. Just a couple of blocks.
We haven't done this together for a long time, Dad.
Way too long, I guess, son.
Say, it's a fine morning, isn't it?
Hello there, boy. Hi, Phil.
Well, Ruth made it in time after all. Hi there, Ruthie.
Mr. Rungy and Jimmy. Hello there.
Mom, Janet, Sally.
Phil, it's my family.
Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, Mom. Oh. Mom. Hey, Janet and Sally have grown.
You talked them into it, I see, Ruthie.
Oh, sure. But how did Mr. Rungy and Jimmy happen?
It's quite a story, I'll tell you.
Mary... There isn't anything I can say except...
Don't try to say anything, Ed. We need you too. So very much.
This is Ricardo Montalban again. Probably in the not-too-distant future, from your front yard, or perhaps even from your front porch, you'll be able to look up into the sky, along about sunset, and see a second moon in the sky. It sounds fantastic, doesn't it? But it isn't. Several of the world's powers are working right now on plans for that second moon, to send a man-made satellite beyond our atmosphere into an orbit approximately 1,070 miles above the Earth. The specific purpose of this second moon? To record and relay information back to the Earth. To give us information about the weather, about cosmic and solar energy, the nature of deep space, and a dozen other things. A second moon. Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? Actually, it's just another example of man's growth in the physical sciences. And we must grow or die. And that applies to the spiritual as well as the physical. Which brings us naturally to the subject of prayer. For prayer is a means of spiritual growth. As the sensitive instruments in a second moon circling the Earth can bring us closer to the workings of the physical universe, prayer is the means we must use to get closer to the creator of the universe, God. It is the way God gives us of growing spiritually through frequent communion with Him. And when you pray, do it with the other members of your family. For I'm sure you've heard this about daily family prayer. The family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you transcribed Roughneck, starring Phil Carey. Ricardo Montalban was your host. Others in our cast were Jeff Silver, Margaret Brayton, Joy Terry, Herb Ellis, and Leo Curley. The script was written for Family Theater by Fran Van Hartesveld and directed by John T. Kelly, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lofrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to join us next week when Family Theater will present Wally. Bing Crosby will be your host. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network, This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.